The Doug Wright Show. Doug scores big-time interviews on Utah's most important stories on KSL News Radio.
Representative Paul Ray is sponsoring this legislation, and it appears, just based on comments that the governor has made, it very well could be signed, which would bring as alternative B, as the failsafe, the fallback, the death penalty by firing squad here in the state of Utah. Now, remember, there are several individuals right now on Utah's death row that have opted for, when they were given the choice, back when you still had the choice between lethal injection and firing squad, they chose the firing squad, and some of those requests have been grandfathered in. The last execution to occur in the state of Utah was 2010. There is not an execution that appears to be on the horizon for maybe another 2 years here in the state of Utah, but the last execution was that of Ronnie Lee Gardner. And Randy Gardner, his brother, joins us here at KSL. Randy, thank you so much for spending this time with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Doug.
Having gone through this terrible experience in your family, what are your thoughts about what is unfolding now in the state of Utah? Ronnie Lee chose to die by firing squad. Is this something that should be in our arsenal of justice?
Oh, no, of course it should not be. Executing a person in any way is cruel and unusual punishment. I actually got to see the bullet wounds in my brother's chest after he was executed, and I can't even imagine what his back looked like. It probably blew his heart right out his back. You know, Representative Paul says that's the most humane way to execute somebody, but I say there's no humane way to execute our citizens.
Might I ask this question? I know this stuff is really personal, and I'm sure very tender for you and for the family. Why did Ronnie Lee Gardner choose the, because he had the option, if I understand it correctly, he had the option. Why did he choose the death he did?
Well, he did. For one reason, he knew that it would draw national attention to the firing squad and to the death penalty in general. So he made that choice. I do believe possibly with the problems they're having with lethal injection these days, he figured that it would be a lot quicker method to go, of course, but I think the main point was he wanted to bring national attention to the death penalty. It's just not right to kill someone to show that killing is wrong.
I know when you talked to our producer earlier, you wanted to make sure that in no way, shape, or form were you here to justify anything that Ronnie Lee had done. We're here just to talk about method of execution.
Exactly. I didn't condone Ronnie doing what he did, and I don't condone the state doing the same thing.
I'm assuming then that the idea would be just for life in prison without parole. Would that have been something that would have eased the burden of what Ronnie Lee did, not only on society, in your opinion, but on the family as well, because you too, your family, you were victims as well.
Exactly, yes. I think life without parole is a much better option that we have nowadays. We have much safer prisons, and we can lock these people down, you know, that commit these heinous crimes and keep them locked up for the rest of their life. You know, Ronnie was a different person than he was 25 years ago. He spent 25 years on death row. I think Ronnie could have been helpful in helping other people, you know, understand what he went through, you know, growing up in his life and the decisions he made. You know, it took him a while to understand those decisions, but he definitely understood that what he did was wrong and terrible thing to do. But I think by killing him just made murderers out of us.
You know, Randy, I hear a lot of times, I heard it with, you know, we talked about the hi-fi killers and others, how their lives changed, how in some cases, and we've heard this a lot, they found Jesus, they found religion, and so on. And on one hand, I'm glad of that. On one hand, I'm glad that had occurred. But at the same time, the people that they dispatched so early to their maker, including your brother, they never had that chance. They never had the chance to hone their lives. They never had the chance to, if they hadn't already, find Jesus, find religion, you know, grow up and have the ability to change for the better or for the worse. And I I struggle with that sometimes when I hear that argument, you know, that, gosh, they turned into really good people. We heard that with, you know, the hi-fi killers. We heard it with others. Does that argument ever kind of catch in your throat a little bit?
Well, you know, I struggle with it also. I mean, just because you found God, I mean, you're locked up 24 hours a day in your cell 7 days a week, you probably have to find somebody that's going to help you do your time. But I don't think that's an excuse. I think people do change, and they Ronnie changed. I mean, whether Ronnie should have been ever released or not, I doubt it. You know, but killing him is not going to bring back the person that he killed. And
your brother was the last person to die in the state of Utah. It is likely that it will be another couple of years before this goes through the process once again. You've yet to have this, I don't know what word to use, this experience of having another person go through it, knowing what your brother, what happened to him, as you mentioned, seeing your brother with the bullet holes in his chest. When the next execution happens in the state of Utah, what effect will that have on your family, especially if it were to be the same kind of execution, a firing squad death?
Well, Doug, it's just going to bring back the emotions. You know, it seems like it never ends. You know, and it's just, if Ronnie originally would have got life without parole, you know, he wouldn't have been in the news for 25 years. And the family of the victims that he took their loved ones' lives would have been able to move on and have closure. You know, I don't believe that they probably had closure, you know, after Ronnie was executed, because now you got me in the news, you know, trying to get rid of the firing squad and the death penalty. And I've been an advocate of getting rid of the death penalty for the last 5 years, and I'm not going to stop until the death penalty is abolished, not only here in Utah, but in the United States and around the world.
I was going to ask, how dedicated are you to the cause? How big a passion is that for you, and does everybody in your family and extended family agree with that?
Well, right after Ronnie was executed, Ronnie's daughter tried killing herself. You know, she took it so hard, she took enough pills that should have probably killed her. And they revived her and got her back. Then she did it again. I tried, made some phone calls and got online, tried to find someone that would help our family. And we were victims too. And I called an international organization called the Journey of Hope from Violence to Healing. And I got established with that organization. And they've been doing this anti-death penalty stuff for 20, 25 years. And I think that's probably what saved me. I'm now on the board of directors. I travel all over the United States, and I just got back from Africa, where we do speaking events, and we go tell our stories and try to change people's hearts through our stories, you know?
Yeah, I was going to ask.
I'm pretty involved.
I'm glad you mentioned the family, and I was not aware of the situation with Ronnie Lee's daughter. How dramatically does this change a family, and does the method of execution really ultimately matter?
You know what? Like I say, with the lethal injection problems, I mean, it's just as bad. But what do you go to? You go to the guillotine, or do you go to the electric chair where it fries people and starts them on fire? Do you shoot people in the heart? Do you put poison in their veins and, you know, have it not work and have them suffer? I mean, yeah, Ronnie made people suffer, but is it right for us to make him suffer at the same time to make our family? Now, I didn't realize how big of that we were victims also of basically premeditated murder. We knew the time and the date when they were going to execute my brother and shoot him in the heart. I felt like I needed to go up to that prison and say something and stop it, you know, but I couldn't. I couldn't save my brother. And it just, you know, broke my heart, and it still breaks my heart.
Where were you on that day?
I was at the point of the mountain. We had a vigil across from the prison, me and probably about 40 members of my family and friends. And we were just there waiting, you know, hoping there'd be a last-minute stay or something. You know, we were hoping the governor would understand that, you know, he could have given Ronnie a 60-day stay. I think the Board of Pardons could have gave Ronnie, a stay. I don't know. These people here in Utah, they're really bloodthirsty. It really kind of makes me sad that I live in such a state that, you know, that believes it's okay to kill our own citizens. It's not, you know. It's not right what Ronnie did, and it's not right for the for others, for our state and our country to execute our citizens.
Just a quick final question for you, Randy. Again, back to Ronnie Lee's daughter, and I'm not really familiar with the immediate family situation, but how is she doing? How is the family doing?
You know, I believe we have post-traumatic stress disorder. None of us are still taking. It's been almost 5 years. I'm still very damaged from it. His daughter has never been the same. He has a granddaughter. She's very hurt over it. And he just had a great grandson that was born. He's never going to be able to meet his, you know, his father also. You know, we're just, two wrongs just don't make a right. And, you know, Ronnie could have died naturally in prison, and we would have got the same thing as other than we're, you know, didn't make murders out of us also.
Randy, has the family been ill-treated or persecuted? Because, again, I happen to agree with you on this. I think that because of Ronnie Lee's actions, you two have been victims. You have to deal with this, you know, this maybe even stigma that comes with it. Have you been persecuted? Have there been things of that nature that have especially affected the kids?
Well, we've been persecuted by, you know, anytime something comes out on the news or on the radio or stuff, you'll see the comments. There's 300, 400, 500 comments sometimes on news articles about Ronnie and, you know, I'll kill him, you know, I'll donate the firearm and, you know, stuff like that. And I take that type of stuff personal. You know, I mean, yeah, I don't know if anybody in the state has actually persecuted us or looked at us different. You know, years ago, I used to get pulled over intentionally. Cops would pull me over and you're Ronnie Lee Gardner's brother and this and that, give me a hard time. And, you know, that happened for years and years. In the last 10 years, that pretty much has stopped. But, yeah, I mean, it's affected our whole family. I don't know if it's something we'll ever get over.
When the cops would pull you over, were there justifications for it? Are there things, and I don't want to, you know, dredge anything up, but, you know, are there things that would have motivated them to do it and to keep an eye on you?
No, I just think, they pull me over. Yeah, improper lights or lane change, anything. Pull me over and I tell them my name. Oh, you're Ronnie Lee Gardner's brother, yeah? From then on, they, you know, treat me like dirt. Oh, yeah, he's a killer. He's a cop killer. He technically didn't kill a cop. He did shoot a bailiff in the courthouse. And, you know, I feel terrible for his family. He died like 12 years later, supposedly, you know, from injuries sustained that Ronnie had done to him. But, yeah, I mean, they're just, it's pretty much far that it's ended, other than you look at, like, Representative Paul. I seen him giving an interview the other day. And he looked at me like, yeah, ha ha, you know, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be killing our citizens. And, you know, just that type of attitude towards a lot of the people in Utah. You know, they don't even have the death penalty in most of the civilized country of the world. China, Iraq, Iran, Japan, that's who executes people in the United States. Most of the other civilized countries in the world don't even have the death penalty. And there's 18 states in the United States do not have the death penalty. So the trend is definitely trending. You know, instead of worrying about if we're going to execute somebody by firing squad, we should be abolishing the death penalty altogether.
Well, Randy, I do appreciate the time you've spent with us here at KSL. I appreciate your perspectives, and thank you for joining us on the Doug Wright Show. We are going to be talking momentarily with Curtis McCarty, who spent 21 years in prison, 19 years on death row, and was exonerated. DNA proved that he didn't do it. That's coming up here on today's Doug Wright Show at KSL News Radio.